Today is Super Bowl Sunday, in case anybody's here from another planet and didn't know that. Just thought I would share that with you. So two teams are playing as we speak, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. And though I will not see any of it because of circumstances, of course, being here where we ought to be and needing to travel afterwards, I will be interested to see how it plays out. I don't really have a dog in this hunt, but it is going to be interesting, or at least is of intriguing to me, because of Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for Green Bay. For so many years, Brett Favre had been the face of the Green Bay Packers. He had led them to victory in their last Super Bowl victory. And so for several years, he had waited on the bench to see if he was going to get his chance, his shot. Finally, the baton was passed, or better put for a football analogy, the football was handed off. And he became the quarterback. And so there's something poetic about the next generation stepping up to the plate. And so now he has led the team back to the Super Bowl. Whether they win or not, there is something significant in the fact that he has been able to take the baton or the ball and run. I want to think about what we find over in Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, we find that Paul was preaching in Lystra. And when Paul was there, it didn't look like there was going to be success. In fact, opponents rose up against Paul and his co-workers, and Paul was stoned and left for dead. If you were to look at that one moment in time, you would think there wasn't a chance that anything good would come out of his work in Lystra. But he rose up from the ground, and not only did he rise up from the ground, the work rose up. And a congregation was established, and elders were put in place. And on his second missionary journey, Paul would come back through this same region, and when he came to Lystra, he found a boy that he would refer to as his son in the faith. So apparently, Paul had converted him in that first visit that for a time looked so disastrous. He converted a young boy named Timothy, and when he came back through again, and at this time, Timothy is probably about college age. He's somewhere in his late teens to early 20s. And Paul is going to take him on that second missionary journey. And Timothy is going to be mentioned some 25 plus times in the New Testament. He's going to be a co-sender of six of Paul's letters. He is going to be a man that works with Paul literally to change the world. And when Paul departed from this life, he took the handoff, he took the football, and he carried on the work to a new generation. What I'd like to do tonight is talk about what we did in Panama a couple of weeks ago. In a few weeks, folks will talk about what they did in the VBS trip. But tonight, while I can, I just want to talk to you about a difference you made in the lives of young men. The role you played in putting 27 Timothys into the Lord's work. So we go to Panama. It's a country of about 3 million people that's down at the tip of Central America. Actually, Panama is a bridge country that connects Central America and South America. It runs longwise east to west. On the western end, you've got Costa Rica. On the eastern end, you've got Colombia. And you move down into South America. Most of folks know it for the Panama Canal that cuts across it. As we look at what we did with the camp and what God did at the camp, we're focusing on where the arrow is, Panama City. And it's on the Pacific end of the Panama Canal. To look at what happened, we need to go back in time. A few years ago, the elders and I were talking about the future in Panama. And we talked about, wouldn't it be wonderful if someday we could have a preacher's camp in Panama like the preacher's camp that Graymere's had for the last 6 years. As we talked about that, I asked them kind of as a precursor if it would be okay if we had a class during Vacation Bible School, and each day when VBS was held, could we just have a class for young boys to teach them how to lead in worship and how to put a little 2 to 3 minute devotional together. And they said that would be fine. And so for the last couple of years, that's what happened. And so gringos, and for those of you visiting, gringos, those are the folks that come from North America. Okay, that's us. Okay, and then the Panamanians. We worked together on doing those classes, and different people participated in those classes. The first year we had 9 boys to sit in on the class for an hour and a half for 4 days. The second year we had 14 boys to participate and did the devotional for the campaign group on Thursday night. Well, during that week, Alonzo Racine, who preaches at a congregation that is west of Panama City, it's actually between Panama City and La Chorrera, and a lot of our folks have been to La Chorrera. Alonzo helped with that class, and a guy named Francisco Gonzalez, who is a teacher at the school. And they pulled Jonathan off to the side, who was helping to teach the class, and they'd heard us talking about the preacher camp we have at Graymere, and they said, Could you come next year and do one of those preacher's camps here in Panama? And so at that very moment, we began scheming and dreaming, and we grabbed Brother Porter and Brother Workman and started talking to them, and it wasn't long till we were calling the guys at Forest Park about the use of the facilities at the Bible School of the Americas, and a dream was set in motion. And this past 2 weeks ago, we had the first ever Campamento para Futuros Ministros, the first future ministers camp in Panama at the Bible School of the Americas. Many of our folks have been to Bible School of the Americas, our January trips where they do vacation Bible schools and work projects. It's always held on this campus, and we use the facilities of the campus. Most of our folks are used to eating at the White House, and we use that to feed the boys. You can see the dorm facilities in the background. That's where we house some of the boys. The facility over here to the right on that side, that is the children's home. We use that. Our younger boys stayed in the children's home. Our older boys stayed in the regular dorms while we were there. We use the church building where the congregation inside Manunitas. There's an inside Manunitas congregation and an outside Manunitas congregation. And so when we go, we usually meet with the inside congregation, and we use the building where they met throughout the week. We had services there. We had the closing assembly and graduation there, Bible classes, activities, and so forth. Also on the campus, they have classrooms that they use for the students at the school. And can y'all back up one? And that particular picture that on top of the hill, they have offices on this end for the teachers, and on the far end there are two classrooms that are air conditioned that they use for the students. And the key words there are air conditioning. Okay, but and so we use those for some of our classes during the week. They also have this building. On one end of it, you have housing where the single students live. On the other end, you have a kitchen facility that's used by them. And in the middle, you have a library, which is also air-conditioned. And computers are available there, and we use that for classrooms as well. So using these facilities, we had the first camp. When we planned the camp a year in advance, we thought, well, let's set a maximum of 25 boys, and let's hope we have 5 to 10. When I got on the plane, I had no idea how many we would have, because all the applications were sent into the school, and so none of us handled any of the applications. It was all handled by the Panamanian brethren. And so we kind of got there that day. We had a few applications in. We had a lot of promises by phone. And I know how promises can work out sometimes. But I remember as the day progressed, and boys came in, and boys came in, and boys came in. I can remember calling Cindy on the phone, and I cried through a phone call as I tried to tell her how many boys we had. And we ended up with 24 full-time campers and 3 part-time campers. We had 3 boys who live at the children's home who, because of summer school, couldn't come all day, but they would come in the evenings when they got out of school. And so God did some amazing things. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit about what we did and what kind of week we had, and some of the things God did there among these young men. Okay, if I do this and it doesn't move, will somebody punch the button up there? All right. As you think about those 24 young men, they represent 5 of the 9 provinces across Panama. There are 9 provinces. I think this map is actually divided into 10. They have 9 officially recognized ones. And actually may have had a 6th province. I've got to confer with Francisco. I thought we had a boy from Coakley, but I'm not 100% sure. But I do know that we had boys from 5 provinces. And you see where those blue dots are? They are literally across the expanse of Panama. We had boys that rode 9 and 10 hours by bus, by walking, and by taxi to be able to get to the camp. I just can't begin to describe what that does when you find out boys are willing to go to those lengths. You got boys from big cities like Cologne. You've got boys from over in the Darien in the Kuna region who literally walked out of a hut with no running water and no electricity and climbed on a bus to come to Panama City. Folks from all walks of life, very different, who didn't know each other at the beginning of the week. By the end of the week, they had become a family. They had become a band of brothers. The counselors we had for the camp was a mixture of Panamanian and Gringo, and throughout the camp we tried to mix the two together. And each of us were designed to learn from each other. They knew how to teach, how to preach and teach. They can preach as well as anybody we've got in North America. They just didn't know how to put a camp together, and they said, "We need you to show us how." So our job was to show them how to do a camp. Their job was to show us about Panama and how to do it in Panama and to teach us the Panamanian culture. So we learned from each other throughout the week. So we had 2 boys from the U.S. who have been to our camp here at Graymere. Billy Camp has been 3 years to our camp and has been a counselor and is a Bible major at Faulkner University. And Trevor Turner on the end there has been to our camp for 6 years. This year will be his 7th year at our camp. And then we have these 3 young men from Panama. Christopher Erlington, his parents work for the Bible School of the Americas. We have Jerzen Campbell, his father Evans Campbell, a lot of our folks know. And then in the middle, Issachar Racine. His father, Alonzo Racine, is a preacher just outside of Panama City, as I mentioned earlier, between there and La Chorrera. And he speaks very good English. And so these 5 men work together and just did a fantastic job. And they are an example of how we tried to get everybody working together. We tried to involve them as much as we could. Like here's Trevor doing the devotional one morning. One night on Sunday night, they did the devotional services because I believe that I believe part of the mission of a camp is for everybody there to learn and everybody there to grow, from staff to counselors to campers. So I try to involve my counselors in all the thing I can get them involved in. So if they've never taught with an interpreter, they're not leaving camp till they've done that. And I want them to try new things and branch out. And so each of the campers and counselors got new experiences. One of the big challenges when you do a camp like this is feeding them. I know I've talked about this with the folks with help with our camp, and I don't just say that for flattery. I believe if you feed teenage boys, all is good. If they are hungry, you can give them gold bricks every day and they are not happy. Okay, maybe gold bricks. But the point is, hunger and teenage boys don't go well together. And so we had planned for some Panamanian ladies to be able to run our kitchen. You know Apollonia, who comes to visit us and has partial membership here. She's going to love that picture, isn't she? But also, she was supposed to have 2 Panamanian ladies helping her, and they were not able to come. We called Marta at the last minute, and she rode over and helped out. A lot of folks know her and her husband, Celestino. And then we had to bring in the Gringo Squad. We had a group of gang folks from Graymere that came in early just to be there in case we needed them. And they did all kinds of things. I know Jim one day had to fix a bathroom because we had more boys than we planned on. We had to find a room to put them in. But because we didn't have all our Panamanian cooks, suddenly our gang became the cooks, okay? And so they would take care of 2 meals a day. And so here they are cooking breakfast, and they were ably led by Brother Charles, and they just did a fantastic job. And I'm just so grateful for them. Miss Annette, Miss Jewel pitched in, and just so many folks. The early crew that went just to be there ended up being an absolute gift from heaven. And one of the things I find that amazes me about Graymere people when I see them on mission trips, it doesn't matter what's needed, they'll find a way to do it. And they'll adapt, may not be originally what they planned on doing, but they're not going to let God's work fail. We brought a lot of folks from North America, or several guys that I knew had experience with these camps, like Craig Gully, who teaches up in Nashville and is a coach in Nashville. I wanted Craig to be there because Craig grew up at the Pennington Bend Church of Christ, which was the first church, to my knowledge, I guess in the world, I know in the United States, to ever do a camp like this. That's the one I grew up going to. He was a member of that congregation, then he went to the camp, and then he became a counselor at the camp. If there was anybody that knew how to do one of these camps, it was Craig. And so I was grateful for him to be able to go with us. Brother Fred Porter was there, and you can see him there with Issachar. Brother Chuck Wortman came and helped us out throughout the week. Jonathan Winchester was there and just was a godsend in just a million different areas. I know he's worn out from all that he had to do. But I also want you to see they're working side by side with the Panamanians. In fact, there was more of the teaching done by Panamanians than was done by folks from North America. We both pitched in and we both helped. But it was very important that this not be a North American camp. This has to become a Panamanian camp. And so we split it out, split it apart this year, almost down the middle, with it slightly weighted towards them. And we involved older preachers like Jose Chevarria Sr. We involved teachers at the school like Francisco Gonzalez. He was on staff. Alonzo Racine is on staff. Another young preacher who's about 36 named Simeon Vasquez. I know you don't know all these names, but the point is, what often happens in mission work is we go in and do it for them, and then they don't grow. And what has to happen is we have to train them how to do it for themselves. So that's what we were trying to do at this camp. In fact, I remember talking to all the Panamanian and Gringo staff, and I said, listen, if no boys show up, we are still going to have a busy week. Because we've got to learn how to do this in this culture, so we're going to have training classes on how to do this in this culture. This has to become your camp. It can't be a North American camp. It has to be a Panamanian camp. We involved all the local guys we could. Here's Alberto, the preacher at the congregation on campus. We involved teachers doing classes, like one of the teachers, Ahenor, a lot of our folks have met. He did a class one day on the life of a preacher. Others did devotionals. Anibal, who is the father of the children's home, came over and did a devo one morning. Again, the goal of this, they needed to hear the gospel from Panamanians. And they needed for this to become a Panamanian camp, and the Panamanians had to take ownership. And they don't get ownership by sitting watching a bunch of folks from North America do everything for them. They only get ownership by participating. We had an opening session, and we kind of introduced them to everything. And the only reason I mention this is you've got to understand this is uncharted territory. You remember the first time you tried to tie your shoe? Okay? You'd never done this before. Now you think, oh, that's old hat. Then you think, oh, you had an opening assembly for a preacher's camp, no big deal. But if you've never seen one, if the first one you ever saw, you're a part of, that opening session's a big deal. You had to figure out what in the world's about to happen. And they don't know hardly anybody around the room, and that's where the process began. Where they began to meet people and figure out what it is that we're going to do. Could y'all change that for me? They had classes in the main auditorium of the church building. We also had classes up where the students meet. And we divided them into two groups. We had an older boys class we called the Titus class. It had 13 students in it. We had a younger boys class that we called the Timothy class. Had 11 students. Here's Alonzo teaching the older boys in one of the classrooms that's used by the school. Let me tell you why one of the reasons the brethren there are so excited about this camp and why the guys on campus are so excited. Because they have a hard time identifying young men who are ready for their campus, who are ready to go to the Bible school. And they get these resumes and they don't know them. So they've got to learn a little bit about their backgrounds to see if they're ready. So what they're hoping happens over time is that if you have 25 boys coming in year after year after year, then they start getting resumes from these boys, and Francisco says, oh yeah, I know him. I had him in my Bible class at the Future Ministers Camp here at the Bible School of the Americas. It gives the boys a chance to know the school and be familiar with the school, and hopefully someday they'll be students and graduates of that school. They also, as you can see, have a pretty decent library, and so we were able to have classes in the library. Let me mention something else here. In my opinion, the most important thing I maybe can do when I'm in Latin America is take books. Okay, for a preacher, your Bible and Bible study books are like gold. And in a lot of Latin America, they can't get things in Spanish, okay, and what they can get, they can't afford. So pretty much every time I go to Panama, I've got a carry-on bag that's usually 50 or 60 pounds because they never weigh it. And then I've got a check-through bag that's usually somewhere between 49 and a half and 52 on weight because all I carry is books. And then I let Miss Apollonia wash my clothes 400 times so I can get through the week. Because they need books. And if you're going to go in there and teach a boy how to prepare his sermon, and then you're going to send him back to a house where he has absolutely nothing to prepare it with, you haven't done him a lot of good. So we gave every boy a Spanish Thompson Chain Reference Bible. You can see some of them lying there on the table. We gave every boy the Gospel Abbott Commentary on Acts in Spanish. And we gave every single boy a panorama of the Bible. It's a book which has a summary of every book in the Bible and has a lot of detailed information, including maps on the book of Acts. That was very important for them preparing sermons on Acts. Just want you to realize all the kind of things that come in to a camp like this. If y'all could change it for me again. The first night, one of the things we did is we just had a mixer where they could get to know each other. Because these guys are scared to death. They don't know what's about to happen. They've never seen this. And they don't know each other. If you could change another one. So the first night we have mixer games. Okay? So one thing. If you're ever bored, just call Chuck Morris. Okay? I'm just telling you. If you'll have Chuck Morris over to your house, I mean, he can make anything a party. And Chuck Morris and Phil Wagner and John David Schwartz are just incredible with young people. And so they worked with them in ways to get to know each other. And like in this game, they had to all get just on a plastic tarp and they had to flip it over without getting off of it. Now, if you're just bored sometimes, sit around and watch a bunch of teenagers do that. It is really quite fun. And then they also use learning games. They have no concept of what we call as youth ministry. And using games and activities to learn and learn biblical messages. So they would tie that in the evenings. And they would do an activity and then they would teach a biblical message from that particular activity. And so that was the night the boys began to become one. There we go. We tried to give them free time in the afternoon. John David tried to teach them how to play North American football. And they had a pretty good time. They enjoyed it. But by the time the week was over, they were, you know, back to the real football, they said, which is soccer. All right? Each afternoon, we would take time helping them to prepare their lessons. We would have classes on preparing and delivering sermons, classes introducing the book of Acts, classes on song leadings, basic introduction to youth ministry, the life of the preacher, etc. But there was a time each day when they would actually work on their lessons, and we would divide up amongst them. I put up here a picture of Billy helping one of the young boys, because Billy couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. I think he could say hello and goodbye, and that's just about it. But it was amazing what he could do. And he would sit down with those boys, and he'd find a boy that could speak 5 or 10 words in English, and they would get across from each other, and like this young man, they both opened their Bibles, and they did point. Okay? So one would open up to the same passage in English, and the other would open up the same passage in Spanish, and by pointing hand signals and throwing in a word each of them knew every once in a while, and some grunts and other things, he was able to help this boy do a sermon outline. It's amazing what God can do with somebody if they'll just try. And then we also had a number of Panamanian brethren helping them. Here's Alonzo Racine. If we could go back to the other one. Alonzo Racine helping one of the young men work on his sermon. And so we wanted to give them hands-on training. Isaac was actually the first boy to show up for the camp. So I thought we just had to have his picture in here somewhere. There we go. Every night at our camp, we have spoken English. At their camp, we had spoken Spanish. Okay, it was only appropriate. We had a young boy. This is Ezekiel. Ezekiel's 11 years old. He wasn't supposed to be there. But they came to me the first day and said, I've got this little boy. He's 11. He's great. His mom wants to be there. Can he come? I said, have at it. It's you guys' call. It's your camp. And so he did a fantastic job. So that's it. What we're trying to do is get them up speaking and get them where so they're not so afraid. Another thing that wasn't supposed to happen, if y'all can back up that last picture real quick, I'll just tell you when to change it, and I'll be less frustrated than y'all will too. But when we have baptisms, we usually do it in this baptistry at the base of the water tower. Okay? And we couldn't do it while we were there. Boys, every boy there was supposed to be a Christian. But a couple of boys got through the cracks, and it ended up being a wonderful thing. One of them made a decision that he wanted to be baptized while we were there. His name's Evans Campbell. He's the son of Evans Campbell Sr. that a lot of our folks know. His brother was one of our counselors. He also had a nephew that was there who was actually older than him, and we won't get into that. But they couldn't baptize him here because they had water shortages because of flooding. Their water was contaminated. And so what they did is we went down to the local creek. in the next picture there, and we baptized Evans there. Simeon Vasquez did that. While we had him there, you can see in this next picture, I think a picture of Phil Wagner. Phil has been youth minister for the last several years at Mount Juliet and is now living in Panama and is getting ready to move to El Salvador. He is already doing a fantastic job. The kids at the children's home just absolutely love him to death. He's picked up a lot of Spanish because 7 weeks with no gringos around and a bunch of kids at the children's home, you either learn Spanish or you starve to death. And so he goes and eats with them every day, and he's gotten very good at leading singing in Spanish. And they absolutely love to sing. I mean, everywhere you go, you go on a trip, they're going to sing all the way there, they're going to sing all the way back. And I remember the last night, after we had a tour day and they'd been singing, I'm walking back across campus and they're gathered in a classroom or in one of the dorm rooms singing, and I could hear their singing echoing across the campus. Also, while they're there, in this next picture, we taught them how to baptize. And so Francisco did a class on how to baptize. Let's keep going. At the end of the week, each boy delivered an 8-minute lesson. And so here's Evans doing his little 8-minute lesson. So you can see in the next picture, the Panamanian brethren would grade and evaluate them. And we had two Panamanian brethren in each room, and their job was to pick the 5 guys who were going to speak on Sunday. On Saturday, on Friday night, if we can keep going, we took them downtown by the water and had a special kind of end-of-the-week devotional. We talked about how Christ called His apostles by the waterside, and they had to step up to the plate, and now it was time for these boys there by the waterside to step up the plate and be messengers for Jesus Christ. The next morning, we took them out door knocking. We talked about personal evangelism, and then we put it into practice, and we walked through the community. It was interesting, as we knocked doors, it was laundry day on Saturday. So all the houses that we went to, as you can see in this next picture, everybody's got their laundry hanging up. And I just had to throw this in here. Next picture, you got a lady doing her laundry. How would you like to do your laundry like that? She's got a kind of a, I guess you would kind of call that a washing machine, and then she would rinse it off in the big blue thing, and then she would hang it up, okay? So everybody suddenly be real grateful for their washing machines. Next picture. When they'd go up to knock at the doors, you know, kind of our pet phrase was, cuidado perro, okay? Because everybody has a dog for protection. So you don't just walk up to the door because you might be going to meet the Lord in the next 4 or 5 seconds. So what you would do is you would stand out at the edge, and you would say hello to the house, and wait for somebody to come out, and you would go up and talk to them. It was amazing how many people would talk to these boys. If they were home, they would talk to the boys. And the boys would invite them to church services the next morning, and then invite them to the Vacation Bible School the next week. Next slide. We took them sightseeing that day. We took them to the Kuna mall there, flea market's what I call it, and they had a big time going around checking everything out there. We then took them to the Panama Canal. And then after that, we took them, the first time any of us had been there, we took them to the Panama Zoo, Summit Zoo. And that's a jaguar there. All the animals in this zoo are native Panamanian animals. And then after that, we did something that you need to do once in your life. Just to have a life-changing experience, go to McDonald's in downtown Panama City and order 40 dinners on the same check, okay? It's the Panamanians are the problem. It's all us gringos. I want that upsized, okay? But you haven't lived until you've done that, and it was really quite fun. And when we got done, we took them home, and then on Sunday, we had the final services where the young boys spoke. At the Sunday morning service, we had a great crowd, as you can see in a couple of pictures here. I would estimate we had about 175 people that were present for that service. Some folks may have actually done counts and can give you a better record later. We had 5 boys, and y'all can just walk through the 5 boys who spoke. We have 2 boys from our younger boys class who spoke, Luis and Angel. And then Fernando and Edwin and another Luis spoke among the older boys class. And let me mention this Luis Avaris here. He was kind of our top speaker, the Panamanians told me, and he spoke on that Sunday morning. He has now been accepted to be a student at the Bible School of the Americas. And so he will officially be our first boy from the camp to move into the Bible School of the Americas. And he will start in the class that begins after graduation in December of this year. Then we involved other boys in worship, leading in prayer, also some others like in the next picture, serving the Lord's Supper. We want to give them all opportunities to learn. We had a graduation ceremony where we gave each of them a certificate, and here's Edwin Campbell, the nephew of Evans that you saw earlier. And on this one, this is a picture of Fernando. He's one of the boys chosen to speak. Fernando's a young man that has been in our VBS class the last 2 years. And it was fascinating to see those young boys who've been coming to these VBS leader training classes becoming leaders, doing devotionals at the children's home, and doing devotionals in the local congregation. We'll move on to the next picture. We even recognize the three young boys that could only come in the evenings. Next picture. I want you to think about these boys standing there with their counselors and their certificates. These are the boys that are the future of Panama. And your work, your efforts, and your sacrifice have made it possible for those boys to do it. Also, while we were there, we taught a short course on Introduction to Youth and Family Ministry to the students at the Bible School of the Americas. There are 8 students, and usually we'd have 2 to 3 drop-ins. And you can see in this next picture, Chuck Morris and John David Schwartz teaching that class. You look at this picture, this is class one day, this next picture. There's 11 in this particular picture, but I want you to look at this boy over here in the right-hand corner. The next picture is a close-up of him. Each of them had to do a class presentation. Let me tell you his story. 2 years ago, we went on a mission trip to Ekandi. Had to ride out across the Lake Bayano, which is the largest lake. It's a man-made lake, but it's the largest lake in Panama. We taught classes, we took family pictures and printed them out. Becky printed them out on her printer. We had children's classes, we had ladies' classes. While all this is going on, Marcelino Jr. started a Bible study with a young boy who just happened to be the grandson of the chief of the village. As we were getting ready to leave, that young boy was baptized. His name was Jonathan. That is that boy. He is now a student at the Bible School of the Americas, and when he graduates, he will go back to the village of Ekandi, which does not have a local preacher, and he will preach the gospel. God can do amazing things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, God, or Paul, said to Timothy, "The things that have been entrusted to you, you entrust to others, that they may tell others." On a simple mission trip to Ekandi, for Paul on a simple mission trip to Lystra, it may not have looked at the time like it was much, but God used it to raise up a Timothy and a Jonathan and a Lewis and countless others. As we go back to that opening analogy of passing the torch from one quarterback to another, who are we passing the torch to? Who are we passing the ball to? Who will we leave to carry on our work when we're gone? We can't give anything we don't have. If we can help you in your relationship with God, please come as we stand and sing.